All right, folks, it is that time of the week again for Kayak Fishing Radio Mid-Atlantic. I am your ever-loving host, Mark Delaney Crew Wheeler, and welcome. We're going to have a good show tonight. We're going to talk. I don't think no one's talked on KFR yet about this subject, and hopefully we'll get into detail. Not too much, because, folks, I like to keep it simple. You know, I like to challenge you. So we'll see what we can do about that. And tonight's subject, folks, is the panfish, the crappie, the bluegill, the perch, everything that a big black bass will eat, and everything that a panfish eats when the black bass is itty bitty. So let's get to it. We've got a great group in the chat room. We got Mr. Alex Tucker. What's going on, buddy? He lives in Virginia still. Don't know if he's still in VB or not. But welcome. Hammerhead Greg Crisp. What's going on, man? The Double L Crew, Mark and Chris Lozier. And Old Bill out in Topeka, Kansas. What's going on, man? And, of course, in the studio with me tonight is Redfish Chuck down in Titusville, Florida. What's going on, man?
Going on, brother?
Not much, dude. Not much at all. I understand that. I heard your brood, your clones in the background. So, do you do much pan fishing, man?
Yeah. Not as much as I used to, but I do. Do a bit of it in the wintertime for specks or crappie and some big brim, but don't do much perch fishing down here. I don't think we have perch in Florida, but
right.
Yeah. In fact, my son's first fish he ever caught was a bluegill, so pretty cool.
All right. So what's your favorite crappie bait, man?
My favorite crappie bait is just a Lake Moore Roadrunner with a chartreuse body.
Ooh.
And a redhead. Don't ask me why. But
okay.
That color combination down here is pretty deadly.
All right. And that's the one with the little the regular jig head that has the blade underneath it?
Yep.
The willow leaf?
Yep.
Okay. Awesome. I've got a couple of them, and I've actually caught more bass on that jig head for whatever reason, running it like you would a bucktail, you know, with the raise and drop, swimming it back, I guess you best way to explain it, that I have crappie. So, you know, what can I say? And I know people love fly fishing for bream and other species, and if I was more into fly fishing, then I'd definitely get into it, but I'm not.
Well, you should. I'll tell you what, man.
Go ahead, man.
Not to discourage anybody from getting into fly fishing, but if you want to use the same style of lure, like the little hula popper type, not hula popper, but a little popper type things you can get at like Walmart, a little circular thing with like 6-7 minute, whatever, for big brim. Just get yourself a bug stick, or what we call down here a bug stick. It's a telescope. God, I can't even talk tonight. It's basically a cane pole. It's made out of fiberglass that telescopes, or telescopic-ish, whatever. I'm trying to find. I can't even figure out the word,
right,
man. But and we use that down here, fishing lily pads and stuff. It's easy to use out of the kayak. You basically just kind of like, you know, flick the rod tip. So if you would a cane pole and just kind of work that little popper just the same way, and you just lift the little brim right to you. So, a lot of fun.
Yeah, definitely. Well, folks, I just saw the inevitable, the godfather, the fathead, Chip Treehugger Gibson. What's going on, man?
I got my new fathead on the wall, man.
trust me, I'm
cool.
I've got the Cro-Magnon bring too, so don't worry about it. What's going on, Chip, man?
How much, man? Getting ready for the weekend.
I hear you.
We're going to boogie on down to the goon there.
and it's only a couple of weeks away until we make the pilgrimage to Chokoloskee.
I think it's like 38 and a wake up, isn't it?
It's pretty darn close. I know, I'm getting ready for it. I'm stoked. Folks, if you don't know, we're doing the Kayak Fishing Radio Yak Angler Boondoggle. Basically, everyone come on down to Chokoloskee, Florida on President's Day weekend. Meet up with the Kayak Fishing Radio crew and the Yak Angler crew, and we're going to camp out, fish, and be merry, basically. It'll be a great time. Come have all. If you're just starting off, this is a great opportunity to meet experienced and just starting off kayak anglers also. And it's an absolute blast. We've done, this will be our third official one. We've done smaller pilot scout trips, I guess you'd call it, since. But this will be the first one of 2012. Coming up President's Day weekend. If you want more information, go to kayakfishingradio.com/boondoggle. All right. People in the chat room are talking about cane poles and ice crappie. Yes, folks, if you are up in the northern realms and you are lucky enough to have some very cold nights and get at least, what, I think it's like a foot of ice, then you can ice fish. If you live in New Hampshire, though, guess what? You've got an inch of ice, which means you're not doing any kayak fishing or ice fishing. So I feel I have sympathy and pray to the gods that Hammerhead can either A, get some ice, or B, have the ice melt. So anyway, so let's talk about panfish. I'm not going to go into too much detail on you know, species specific, and the reason I'm not going to go species specific is because I find that the same bait catches every species of panfish, from bluegill and brim to crappie to perch. You know, it's just not right. I'm reading the chat room where they're talking about dangerous ice right now. That is, you know, they all work the same. Presentation is slightly different, but you can use one bait. If you find out what they're feeding on, and they pretty much feed on the same thing, and you can tear them up. So let's look over the different types of baits that are there and what I use at the end. You've got the ever-loving, and everyone's used them, the inline spinners, Roadrunner, what are the other ones? There's so many other, you know, these inline spinners. You can make them yourself. They're super simple, really easy, and they catch fish, folks, from trout to bass to the big monster ones that catch muskie. You can't go wrong with a good inline spinner. Fishing is easy. Yes, I have trouble with the chat room also. Fishing it is easy. It's a simple cast out. It hits the water. You can let it sink down a little bit. Okay? If you're fishing in a lake, as soon as you go to retrieve it, give it a pop. That's going to get that blade to start spinning. Otherwise, it's going to sit there and wobble on the side or, you know, underneath the bait. And there's an easy retrieve. This is a great bait for suspending fish. Crappie. There you go, Chris. When crappie are suspending, crappie aren't like bass. They'll hug the bottom when it gets cold out right now. They like to suspend. They like to, you know, perch. Suspending fish also sitting on top of the dead vegetation. This is a great transition bait, you know, when they're suspended. Now, if personally, I love them, but a good old-fashioned beetle spin. Now, people go, beetle spin? Everyone uses a beetle spin. Hell yeah, I know. But having that beetle spin where I can use one frame and quickly interchange blades and jig heads, different jig head colors, different bodies, different blades, is key. And Chris is just looking for every little piece of information. What kind of bait and lure, color, I'm getting there. But beetle spins are one of my favorites. And you can run them like a spinnerbait. You can buzz them on the surface. You can run them, you know, at different depths, and you can drag them along the bottom with a heavier jig head. If you're lucky enough to have a very good fish finder, you can do the good old-fashioned jig head with the meat, with the minnows, you know, hook them, you know, through the back, drop them down to where you get the marks, and just hold on. It's another great one. Another great one is just a great old-fashioned just hula skirt style. The tube baits are you know, great. The Tutti Frutti jig is one I hear about a lot. I really don't have a lot of experience with them, but that's one that you would use on a float. Think of float and fly for smallmouth and largemouth. Great article written by Aaron Dryden on yakangler.com. Check it out. It'll explain the float and fly in perfect detail. So those are the main ones that I know of that are considered crappie and bream and panfish baits. Now, what I use, I guess I use a beetle spin, but what I use are the mini crankbaits. Who would have thunk it? The mini rattle traps going all the way up to quarter ounce. And my personal favorite, the 8-ounce willow leaf spinning bait with a gulp, 2-inch jerk minnow thing. I don't know the exact name. I just buy them in bulk and throw them in my container and use them all the time. They're my drop shot. They're everything for me. So let me explain how I fish them. And personally, I've caught a lot of big white perch on a quarter ounce striking red eye shad in sexy shad and one of the color variations. And once you catch one, guess what, folks? You can tear them up. All the way up, I think my biggest one is 16 inches. You can really do some damage on them. I mean, very, very damaged. You can tear them up. Now, the great thing about this bait is that I can use it as a cast, or if I'm looking at my fish finder and I can see a pod of fish, and I know that they're not bait, and I know it's not bass, so it's got to be panfish. So I'll drop that down. And I'll zip it through that school. Eventually, one's going to bite. Or I'm going to snag him. That way I know, oh, that's a perch. Okay, he goes back. Let's see here. Reading the chat room for a second. They're talking about math homework and jerk minnow thingy. Nice. And, of course, the Loziers are doing the kissy-kissy, smoochy-smoochy thing because they are long distance currently. So, let's see here. But, you know, great baits. Rattle Trap comes out with that little, I think it's an 1/8 ounce. It's no more than an inch long. Silver with blue back. Can't go wrong with that color variation. And I'd run that on a real light rod, spinning rod. Cast it out, let it sink, reel it in. I take the middle hook off. So this way I'm not snagging it too much. And I'll even replace the back hook with just a single hook. Circle hook, because I throw it into the brush and I pull it out of the brush. And a circle hook, 9 times out of 10, will not get caught up in the sticks and the stumps. and you know, run it through those stumps and everything, trying to get that reaction bait. With the big crappie, if you got them suspended on top of a tree or a stump, you run that bait through there, and you bounce it off that stump, guess what's going to happen? It's going to trigger that reaction, and they're going to slam it. And that's just a lot of fun. I run that on 8-pound braid, and just as fast as I can reel it sometimes, is as fast as they want it. It's a great little technique. And then the crankbaits. I've got a couple that I use out west for catching sand bass in San Diego that I still have, and it is just killer. It's a gold with a orange back, and then I've got, you know, the old good old fashioned silver with blue back. It's just one of those baits that I can run it in shallower water, bounce it off of limbs and stuff, and anything I need to. Doesn't get hung up. I've had these things for years. I think Bomber made them. Don't quote me on that, but they're just great crappie baits, great big perch baits, and they just work. If I was going to go for brim, the big bluegill, then I'm running that spinner bait, folks. It's a little itty bitty spinner bait. You know, we're talking like a 1/8-ounce jig head with the nice big willow blade on there, chartreuse with the gulp jerk shad little 2-inch thing. Surprisingly, they'll eat it and run it just the same way as you would any other spinnerbait. Run it, snap the rod. I mean, do what you need to do to trigger that reaction bite. Find where the fish are at and tear them up. Now, any questions? Anybody? 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 All right. Then we'll move on to this. If you have not heard and you live in the Virginia Beach, Chesapeake, Canton Roads area, Stumpy Lake, there off of Indian River and Elbow Road, has just been opened in November to kayak and canoe fishermen. Let me put it to you like this, folks. I was out there the other day. It was amazing. There are several springs that are coming up out of that, in that swamp and around those cypress trees that are keeping that water in the 50s, folks. It was epic. You find the springs, you find the fish. So I'm sending out the invitation. I'll be out there on Saturday from about 9 to 1. If you are more than welcome to join me, Ms. Loser, this is your opportunity to get on some big, big crappie and brim. And hope everyone, hope to see you all out there. Chip, do you do a lot of a brim fishing or panfish fishing?
When the ponds are up, yeah. It's a lot of fun. I mean, it's the best thing for kids. I mean, you know, you just they'll just keep wearing you out, you know. You find them and go after them. So.
Right.
But, I mean, you just thinking just regular brim, like, I mean, I love crickets in a fly rod, man. I can sit out in a boat all day.
Right.
Basket of crickets and a fly rod and just roll cast them out there. Just right, you know, there's get a little where there's a tree down in the water or something, you know, and you know the big old fat bluegill are hanging up under there. Just roll cast some crickets right up under it.
Right.
I know old Bill said something about, had a question in there a little bit earlier about casting light lines, the light braid, and not getting the wind knots in it. And I was asking him about how heavy of a rod he was using, because you got to be able to load that rod up, you know, with that light line to be able to get it out there without getting any wind knots in it.
Right. I've actually found that I throw those really light. I'll throw flies with my small spinner rod sometimes. I can basically remove the wind knots if, you know, you make your cast. And it's not going to be a long cast. You're going to get a lot of slack line. But, you know, manually close the bail and then remove any slack from the reel up to where I'm going to hold the rod, and then just pinch the line. So this way, no matter what, the line going onto the reel is going on tight. That'll remove a lot of the wind knots. I mean, I use braid. You know, I'm a braid head. So, it's just one of those things.
For just brim fishing and stuff, I've got, you know, a couple of little ultralight things that I put together. And I just get some, like, strand fluorocarbon and put it on the reel. You know, I mean, it's not like they're going to peel off 100 yards of line on you, you know. So I just, the fluorocarbon's fine, plus it doesn't spook them and stuff. And you don't get the wind knots. So it's always fun to all of a sudden get a bass that comes up and decides he wants your cricket. And you're running like 2-pound test.
Yeah, that's why I run the braid. Because every bass that hits, I want to have them in the boat, you know, and have that ability. Because I catch a lot of bass while I'm brim fishing, you know, and it's just, you know, and then nothing huge. But, you know, when you get an 18-pound bass on a new ultralight or 18-inch bass on ultralight rod, he's going to be stripping some line, putting you in some places you don't want him to be. So,
yeah.
It's nice to have that little security blanket.
You know, for going back to the specs, you know, nothing catches specs like a bucket full of minnows.
So how would you fish them? Because I don't fish with live bait in fresh water.
With minnows? Well, yeah. Now that is true. A lot of the impoundments now won't let you use live bait. So, but if you're in an area where you can use minnows, then you're going to get you some small shiners, and you don't need them any bigger than about the size of your little finger. And you just pin them through the nose with a, you know, with just a little gold hook. Or, I mean, I've actually used, I mean, those specs have really soft mouths. I mean, they're just paper mouths. In fact, that's one of the names for them is a paper mouth. And so you don't want to rip their lips off, because you will. But yeah, you just pin the minnow through the lips. And once you find them, you know, they're going to be on structure. I think old Bill talked about planting Christmas trees for them, and they will. They'll hang around some structure like that. There'll be a mess of them. So you find a good pond that's got, you know, some big old stumps in it and stuff like that. You just drop it. If you drop a minnow down and just put it down, you know, and just, you got to figure out what depth they're at. But once you figure out, you know, they'll just keep cleaning them off for you. Just a little minnow through the lips. You don't even need a cork. Just drop it down once you find their level where they're at, and just haul them
right
in.
So being the artificial guy that I am, I could theoretically use a drop shot and send it down there with a limp little, you know, inch and a half minnow style soft plastic. And I could tear them up too, right? Like that?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you don't even need a drop shot, just a little jig head. I mean, you're just talking like 16th of an ounce, 32nd ounce jig head, and just drop it down. In fact, jigging is, I mean, you know, the artificial thing. The nice thing about that with your kayak, if you put a couple of rods out with some Roadrunners on them or something, you know, like, you know, the Roadrunners with the little blades on them.
Right.
And, you know, you see the guys that are really hardcore spec fishermen, and they're going to have 8, 16 rods, you know, out. And they'll troll the water until they find them. And once they find them, then they'll figure out what color they're on, because, you know, you put like 8 rods out and have a different color on each one, and once you find out what color they're hitting, then you're just stop and jig for them. You can
right.
clean them off. So.
Well, that's cool. See, this is how folks, if you haven't noticed, I'm not the biggest pan fisherman, but I've caught a bunch, and, you know, thanks to Chris Mosier for mentioning this last week, on last week's show, once I got back to Virginia from the Sunflower State, I went hardcore, and I spent 2 days out in the water, one on my local impoundment, one on Stumpy Lake, and I think I've got them figured out for both. And that's why I said, folks, the rattle trap and the crankbait and that small little spare bait were my keys to success. Now, like I said, that's my success, but that's why I had Chip explain some other ones. If you have another technique, folks, please feel free to call in on any other show. I just have a feeling we're going to touch base with this subject a couple more times. And, you know, we'll hopefully make everyone into proficient panfish fisher persons. So, alrighty. So, Chip, I know you're going fishing this weekend, man. Tell me about it.
Well, let's see. Is Chuck still in here? Yeah, Chuck's still in here. Yeah, we're going to meet up, and I think... Is Chuck still in the studio? No, he took off. We're going to meet at Beacon 42, I suppose. We've got Chuck and Bill and Greg Becker. Bill Haywood is going to show up. I think Daryl Bars is going to show up. Who else? We got quite a few folks. We're going to show up at Beacon 42, take off, and look for some tailors. Probably get first light and head out. And
right.
I'll have a box just like you did, man. I'll be looking for whatever they'll eat, man. So
right.
Hopefully see those big rascals pushing water as the light starts to come up over the berm out there. And it should be about the same conditions that we went that first day we went last year, because I think they've been having fog in the mornings and stuff, and you know, just that was kind of eerie, wasn't it, when we hit the lagoon that morning
with the fog and
it was cool because you could just see the silhouettes of everybody in their kayaks, you know, and we're just kind of cruising, kind of combat spread, you know.
Yeah, we had a good line going of kayakers, and then you hear the faint squeal of an angler yelling for D and Chuck to get it off. That was
yeah.
That was, and the clone, what was it? His first cast hooking up on a red.
First cast. Redfish, and third cast was a trout. So he had two-thirds of a slam before we even got 100 yards from the launch site. You knew that was going to be a good day, right?
Yeah. And then we got out there, and, you know, folks, if you don't know, when you fish with someone like Chuck or D. Kaminsky, and they fish these waters a lot, and they say, you know, this is what you should be looking for, and you're looking like, oh, I don't see it. And then you hear Chuck get all excited. There they are. Oh, they're big ones. You're looking like, that's a small little ripple out there. There's no way that's a fish. And he gets up there, and he makes a cast, and they all of a sudden break from that, from where they're going, and it's this massive swirl, and you go, whoa. It's amazing. I mean, I really wish I would have used my camera more, folks. If you haven't been out there, get a hold of Chuck at Chuck's Kayak Fishing Adventures, or Chuck's Kayak Adventures. D. Kaminsky at Real Kayak Fishing Adventures, or Kayak, I don't know, one of those two. I'm brain fart on their websites. But get a hold of them, get down to Mosquito Lagoon and Sebastian Inlet, you will not be disappointed. Awesome stuff. And Chuck, if you catch a redfish on a beetle spin, you'll be my hero. But folks, we were down there last February. It was Chip, myself, and Rob DeVore met up, and the clone met up with Dee and Chuck. And by the end of the day, we tallied almost 200 redfish from, what was it, like 7 in the morning till, what, noon, 1 o'clock?
No, it was like 2 when we finally said, that's enough.
Yeah, it was just insane, folks. Literally, I took my boxes and opened them up and started changing lures to see what I can catch them on. It was that fast and that explosive. I caught them on buzz baits like Chip has on there. I caught them on walk the dog, jigs, bass jigs. What else did I catch them on? Spinner baits.
Wacky rig worms.
Yeah, I wacky rigged a Senko. You name it. Chuck got his first fly rod redfish. Dee got hers too, I think. I mean, it was just one of those days that, you know, a day that'll live in infamy. And, you know, out in the distance, you can see the, you know, NASA and the space shuttle sitting on the pad. It was just awesome.
Yeah, it was
one of those
cool things
that, you know, I will always remember. So, alrighty. Folks, we're going to, you know, a nice little show. Remember, if you would like to join me on Saturday, Stumpy Lake, they have parking and a kayak launch. It is ADA certified. It's pretty dang cool, if you ask me. No motors at all. Tow motors, gas motors, those little handheld wind fans are not allowed on the lake. It is all manual labor, ham sandwich powered. So it'll be epic. Pinfish. Folks, if you've listened to any of the shows, you hear us all of a sudden kind of drown out because we're in the chat room. And that's a great thing if you're listening to the show through the iTunes or you download it. You go, why do they keep on, you know, breaking off? It's because folks are reading this wonderful chat room. brain fart. You know, having the ability, see, I just did it again, to talk to other anglers, have questions asked and answered to some great info. So, folks, definitely check us out live. People have just asked, what does ADA mean? And Chip's just answered, the American Disabilities Act. It is a very cool ramp. It is meant for people that have disabilities, wheelchairs. I could definitely see this being used for Heroes on the Water, this lake. And it's a very cool ramp, folks. You actually set the kayak in this cradle almost. It's got rollers on it. This way you can get in, sit down, get settled, and then just roll yourself off in the, you know, nice and calmly right in the water, and you paddle right away, right off. No dragging it, you know, do some crazy stuff. It is awesome. Parking is on Elbow Road. You can't miss it. If you've driven by there before, there's not much parking. Well, they actually put in a wonderful parking lot that is very nice. So, definitely, folks, check this place out. If you can't, it will not hurt my feelings because this is now one of my favorite spots. But, yeah, it's by the pier. For those that know all the work they've done on that lake. But let's talk about real fast before I call it a night, the places around here that I know of that we can do really well on the crappie and, you know, within a, you know, a short drive. Stumpy Lake is a great lake. Little Creek Reservoir, the one right across from the Little Creek base. You can see it from Shore Drive when you drive by it. That is full of white perch, big crappie, and walleye. Yes, folks, walleye. That lake is attached to Whitehurst. And when they close Whitehurst down, those walleye have had a chance to migrate into that little reservoir. If you can find the deeper water, and there's some spots in that lake that I have found that drop down to about 15 feet, hold nice-sized walleyes. You didn't know that, but now you do. If you can get on to Whitehurst, you're looking at an untapped resource there, folks. What else? Lake Prince, the chain of lakes there in Suffolk are great. Lone Star Lakes has some great crappie in it. The reservoir up in Newport News has some really good crappie fishing and brim fishing. Old Bill, I know there's what lake is that just south of KC? I was just there this last week, darn it. But it's an impoundment. Chris, I always owe you. That I know holds some bigger fish in it. Lots of docks. I can't remember the dang name. It's the one that, Bill, I know you know it. It's got the big stripers in it. Landlocked stripers. Has some great crappie and brim fishing and perch fishing on it. So definitely check that one out. All right. Yeah, in Kansas. I should look it up right now for you, buddy, while I'm doing my last little bit of talking here. Sorry, folks. I'm going to talk to Chris on the chat room. Well, you can't paddle on Trashmore anymore. So, Truman? It's not Truman. Hang on. But folks, you know, definitely go out and test and check out the resource that is out there. Clinton Lake, that's it. Clinton and the Marion Reservoir, which I think is just outside of Topeka, for you there, Bill. I know I'm lost to their trip, but, you know, I'm trying to help everyone out here. So, folks, going to do my shameless plugs. Kayak Fishing Radio, of course. You're listening to it. We have shows every night of the week with Monday Night Kickoff Show with Redfish Chuck. The Tuesday Night Double L Show with Mark and Chris Lozier. My show Wednesday night, 8 o'clock. You love it. I know you do. The Godfather Show, the original Kayak Fishing Radio Show, every Thursday night. With Chip, the Tree Hugger Gibson. And then the Spike and Ike Show, the West Coast Show. For those of you for those of you on the West Coast, that's a 5 Pacific show, 8 Eastern. So, alrighty. And the impoundment ponds in Back Bay. And folks, if there's a body of water, you can find the brim and the perch and the crappie. I can almost guarantee you catch one of those. So, check out yakangler.com, your ultimate kayak fishing resource. It's a great place to get all the info that you're going to need out there. I mean, just great stuff on that website. Kayakbassfishing.com. You know, if you want a great website, it's another good one. If you're just starting off, a lot of great info on there. I'm reading the chat room again. Let's see here, what else? IrishWaterDogs.com. I haven't talked about these guys in a while. folks, if you don't know Irish Water Dogs, or you don't own one of their awesome Slam Rock shirts or hats, definitely check them out. Always people ask me, Irish Water Dogs, what is that? Well, that's a, you know, line of outdoor wear and kayak fishing gurus from Jacksonville, Florida. Definitely check that out. Kayakfishinggear.com, a.k.a. Hook One. Check them out. Great website also. A lot of great gear on there for the person who's just starting off to the experienced angler. Very well run. Place to pick up all your kayak fishing needs. Appomattox River Company. Folks, even if old Bill wanted a kayak in Kansas, he better hook up with Appomattox River Company because they will hook him up. Great place. You can find every kayak out there, basically. Very knowledgeable staff. Excellent stuff there. And, folks, Ohelo Fishing Tackle. If you don't know about these guys, I said this last show, check out Ohelo. That's ohelofishing.com. You got to check these guys out. I had the great privilege of handling, their Carbonado rod, and their super. This braid is slick stuff, folks. Thanks to Mr. Lozier a couple weeks back. I am stricken with the stuff. I just ordered a couple of rods from them, and reels, and the braid, and the floor. Dude, this fluorocarbon, folks. Oh my God, this stuff is awesome. I'm about ready to switch all my gear over to them. Great spinning rods, great spinning reels. Definitely check them out. What else? What I missed? Say again. Ohero, Ohero is the company. Thank you, Chris. So definitely check them out. Marshworks. I'm going to help Mr. Lozier here with his shameless plugs. Marshworks stuff. I've caught a couple bass. Folks, if you just think it's just saltwater gear, I'm telling you right now, you take that, I guess it's a 6-inch or 5-inch jerk shad, throw that on a weightless 4 or 5-aught extra wide gap hook, you've got one of the best soft plastic jerk baits out in the market. I've caught some really big bass in the past week on them. Letting that sucker sink because it has a little bit of weight to it, down to where the bass are, a nice slow retrieve, and folks, it works. So definitely check out Marshworks Fishing. Just an awesome, awesome bait there. And I think that's it. Kayakheaven, angling-addict.com, Kayakheaven's website, and Rob Troy's blog. Awesome stuff there. And I think that's it with my shameless plugs right now. And with that, folks, I hope you have a great night, an awesome weekend. Go Giants, and I'll hopefully catch you next week. And again, folks, this is Kayak Fishing Radio Mid-Atlantic. I am your host, Mark Delaney Coo Wheeler, and we're going to go out with some Kayak Heaven intro. Laters.